Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, September 10th, 2014, happy birthday to me! Episode 10.14, the Week 2 Preview Show. If your team lost in Week 1, I'm sure and certain you cannot wait for the start of Week 2. It cannot come soon enough. Well, it seems like the Ray Rice fiasco will not go away, so I'll talk a little bit more about that, much to the chagrin of the NFL. The Arizona Cardinals' John Abraham may be done with football. Plus, Matthew Parsons will represent the fans this week as he puts his picks up against mine. 16 games to talk about. It's my birthday. Gonna try and keep it to a short show. Let's chop it in!
Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves.
That's right. Happy birthday to me on September 10th, 19, a long time ago. I was born, so happy birthday to me. Thank you to all of you who have come out and posted on the Facebook and birthday wishes. It's just simply overwhelming. Facebook today, you know, a lot of people may hate it, but it has allowed me to stay in touch with people from all walks of my life, elementary school, middle school, high school, college, different workplaces that I've worked in, folks in the UK, and friends that I've made just outside of all of those areas. And somehow during my birthday, they all come together and wish me happy birthday. It makes me feel very loved. I'm very fortunate, and I just feel so blessed that all of those individuals, every single one of them, have been a part of my life to this great age of 40-something. Yeah, so another crazy week in the NFL. Ever since that video of Ray Rice went public on Monday, things have kind of been crazy. In the National Football League, especially for Roger Goodell, who continues to say, and the league continues to say, that they never saw the video. Well, the AP dropped a bomb on them today when an officer said that he sent the video to an exec at the NFL back in April, 3 months ago. And he had an audio clip that he played for the AP of a woman from the NFL office's phone number, saying thanks and expresses thanks for receiving the video and saying that he's right, it's terrible. So somebody there saw it, if they're saying it's terrible, and somebody was admitting to receiving the video. Now there's going to be an investigation. That's where we're now, that the NFL has hired independent investigators to former FBI Director Robert S. Mueller III to conduct an independent investigation into the league's pursuit and handling of the Ray Rice domestic violence incident. It has just been crazy. There's been tons of tweets, from players and former players, all kind of pointing the finger at Goodell. Now, which is an organization for women against domestic violence, they've come out and say that they, think that Goodell should be fired or he should step down. There are, there's just craziness on all sides. And real quick, if you've been listening to me over the last several weeks, I've been a big proponent of, I can't believe that no one's seen the video from the NFL. It just seemed odd to me that organization that's so powerful and so well-connected didn't see the video. But to ask for the commissioner to be fired, I think, is going a little too far. People are acting like he was the one who was in the video throwing the punch. No, he wasn't the one. He just had to give punishment. He was probably a little too lenient. And because of that, because of being too lenient, and because of the outrage that people were just surprised that Ray Rice only got a 2-game suspension, he had to backtrack. And he came out and he said, I got it wrong. And because I got it wrong, here are the new domestic violence policies that are in place. He changed the rules. That's what he does. And he owned up to, I did not get it right with Ray Rice. But people still kept coming after him and kept coming after him. Then the video was like, boom, it's out there in the open. It is disgusting. It is despicable. And the Ravens cut him. And the NFL says, well, now that he's no longer on a team, he's suspended indefinitely. And hopefully it can go away, but it just will not go away. And maybe the folks at the NFL saw it and they were just like, well, we can't admit to seeing it and then only giving a 2-game suspension. That's not going to look very good. But I don't know why they're continuing to fight it. Obviously, someone in the NFL offices had the video. Now, whoever that individual was, they need to come forward and say, look, I had it. These are the people I gave it to, A, or these are the people who I didn't give it to. It's one or the other. You got the video, and it just seems to me that maybe the people in the NFL didn't want to see the video because if they saw the video, it would just be too horrific. And it turned out that it is. It's pretty horrific. So Ray Rice is out of the league. The NFL has made domestic violence policy changes. And I think right now what the outrage is, and the outrage might be, there are still players playing in the National Football League right now who have been accused or are going through some legal process with domestic violence. There's Ray McDonald of the San Francisco 49ers. He suited up and played football against the Dallas Cowboys this past weekend. And you have Greg Hardy for the Carolina Panthers, who suited up and played football this weekend. And although he was found guilty, he was able to appeal the case, and now it won't be heard till November, maybe even till early next year. So should the league allow these two individuals who, yeah, the legal process is still working out, but in Hardy's case, he was found guilty. He's just appealing that. Should he still be continued to be playing football? Should Ray McDonald, when the police evidence they have pictures of his fiance who has bruises on her body, should he still be allowed to be played football right now? And it also, it kind of drives me a little crazy that it took this long for the NFL to actually put these domestic violence policies into place. I mean, just a few years ago, Javon Belcher killed the mother of his child and then took his own life in the parking lot of the Kansas City Chiefs facility. There were no domestic violence policies that went up then. I mean, because that's what it was. He killed his partner. He killed her, the mother of his child. And then he killed himself. And that was just as bad and equally as horrific, but, you know, we didn't have a video. So I guess there was no outrage then. Domestic violence policies should have been in place way before we ever got to this situation. And I think that is what the outrage is right now against the commissioner. You should have done something sooner. Now, this independent investigation means that this Ray Rice fiasco will continue. It won't go away. And at the end of the day, heads are going to roll. I am certain that there will be folks at the NFL, at Park Avenue, who will lose their job. Probably will not be Roger Goodell. I don't think the owners will go that far unless the FBI, the former FBI director, Robert S. Mueller, he comes out and he says, we have video of Roger Goodell watching the video. And he lied. He said he didn't watch it. Well, he watched it on this date. Well, now you're lying. You're lying to the 31 owners and the rest of the world about seeing something that you say you didn't see. And at that point, maybe the owners all get up and they say, well, we can't really trust Roger Goodell and his credibility, and they fire him, or suspend him, or worse, fire him. But short of them having a smoking gun that says Roger Goodell and some other directors in the NFL Park Avenue high offices saw this video, and yet they only gave Ray Rice a 2-game suspension. At that point, yes, I believe that maybe Roger Goodell is shown the door. But short of that, no reason. No reason to say that the commissioner will lose his job. Someone who had the video at the corporate offices of the NFL and didn't make it go up the chain of command, that person will probably get let go. But unless, like I said, they show that the commissioner lied about watching the video, and he actually did watch it, there's no way that the NFL owners are going to let him go. I hope that we can put this to rest. It's bad enough that we have to see this video over and over again. I'm tired of media and news outlets continuing to post the video. Enough is enough. We've seen it. We know it's horrific. Let's put it to bed. Let's let the Rice family try to start rebuilding their lives, because that's what's going to be needed. If, in fact, their marriage is going to continue, they're going to need a lot of help. Let's hope that they get that. Let's hope that people are willing to give them that. But as far as the NFL is concerned, they need to be make a statement, and they need to be stronger about this domestic violence stuff. Ray McDonald goes and gets in trouble just less than 3 days after the commissioner puts out the new policy. Yet he is still playing football. Hardy was convicted. He's appealing. Yet he is still playing football. Make a stance and then live up to the stance. That's all I'm asking of the commissioner. We'll see what happens, because this story is far from over, folks. We'll move on to another pretty sad story in the NFL. We have to travel to Arizona for this one. The Arizona Cardinals have said that John Abrams has left the team. Apparently, John Abraham told head coach Bruce Arians that his heart wasn't in the game anymore. Apparently, Abraham has been suffering from memory loss, suffered a concussion this past Monday night in the game against the San Diego Chargers, and he has to reevaluate his life. Apparently, he told general manager Steve Keim that he wants to take a step back, take some time to consider the time and efforts and constraints it takes to play in the NFL. And he wants to reassess that, you know, over the next couple of days, whether he still wants to play or not. This is the current sack leader, the active sack leader in the National Football League. And he's been around for a while. His career in the National Football League is well documented. He has played for the New York Jets, the Atlanta Falcons, and is now, this is his second season with the Cardinals. And after suffering this the concussion, he's been in the league for 15 years, and he's probably, he may be done. He may be done. He has basically 5 days to decide whether he wants to continue or not. And it just seems like, you know, with everything that's going on in the NFL right now, and him suffering a concussion and being, you know, 36 years old, I know that's very young. It's hard to listen to that number as you know, I'm celebrating a birthday today, and you say 36 years old. But in the National Football League, that is ancient. And he may come back in 5 days and say, I'm ready to play. Let's make sure I pass these concussion protocols and get me back on the field. But he might very well just say, I am done. I'm hanging it up. I don't want to suffer any more concussions. I want to make sure I can walk away and still be able to live the rest of my life. Abraham has 133.5 sacks to date. had 11.5 last year with the Arizona Cardinals. So the Cardinals really would like to see John Abraham come back and play, but right now he is taking the time that he needs. It's good for him, and we wish him all the best in making that decision, which is going to be a tough one to make. Now, before we get to the 16 games and I start talking about Matthew Parsons, who will be the fan representative this week, I would like to take just a few minutes to remember all of the people that were lost during 9/11. That's tomorrow. I'm recording about an hour and a half away as I'm recording late on Wednesday night. And there will be a football game tomorrow, and I hope that they will play something to remember everyone who fell during 9/11. 13 years ago, I still remember to the day, Tuesday after Monday Night Football. It had been my birthday. Had folks over to watch a football game with me, and I woke up to the horrific news. So just a quick moment of silence to remember everyone from 9/11. All right. Thank you very much for giving me that. We will never forget the motto, and we certainly will never forget the horrific, horrific time there. Let's get to it. Week two is here. I know a lot of people, like myself, if your favorite team lost in week one, you cannot wait for week two to start because you want to see, is this what my season is going to be like, or you know, is my team going to bounce back, get a win, be 1-1, and then we can start working on some things. Let's see what happens. Come on, Mr. Matthew Parsons. Bring it! All right, so let's see what Matthew Parsons has to do. I'm going to fly by these games pretty quickly. It's really late because of birthday. And you know how I spent my birthday this evening? I had to go to my daughter's back-to-school night to meet all of her teachers. So that's how I spent my birthday, and that's why I got a really late start on the show. I actually had a guest trying to line up a guest for tonight's show, and it just got too late. So we're going to rocket fire through these picks. I will touch on a point or two, let you know who the fan has selected and who I've selected. And then I'm going to mosey on out of here pretty quickly, and I'm going to cite birthday celebration as the excuse as I'm trying to finish my Smirnoff Ice here. All right. They don't even pay me. You know what? I should get Smirnoff people on the phone and get them to come represent me. Anyways, we're going to start Thursday Night Football in Baltimore. Pittsburgh Steelers at Baltimore Ravens. Ravens going through a lot of turmoil right now. Usually, I like the home team in this football game. It's Thursday night. The home team doesn't have to travel. It's a short week for both teams. Usually, the home team wins. But I just think there's too much going on. Players and coaches could tell you that what's going on with Ray Rice is not a distraction. Don't believe them for a second. It is. Pittsburgh showed they can actually score points this year on offense. I like Pittsburgh. It's going to be tough for Baltimore to move the ball on them, just kind of like they struggled last week against Cincinnati. Matthew, right off the bat, we differ. He's taking Baltimore. I've got the Steelers. That's one down. We'll start Sunday early games as the Miami Dolphins travel to Buffalo to play the Buffalo Bills. I got an email. One of the guys I was trying to get was the Buffalo Bills guy, Greg Campbell, to come and talk about the Bills and the new ownership and, you know, what an important win, crazy win it was that they got in overtime. But I'm all the way on the West Coast. He's on the East Coast. Couldn't work out the times. The Buffalo Bills are expected to win here. They're actually right now a one-point favorite in a lot of places. They could also be a one-point dog in a couple other places. But it opened as a pick'em. Line is kind of moving in the way of the Buffalo Bills. I'm with the Miami Dolphins this year. I've attached my wagon to them. Look at what they did to the New England Patriots last weekend. I think they go back up to Buffalo and they say, "Hey, I know you kind of have been handling us lately, but you know what?
this is our year. We're going to make a run at this division, and it's not going to start by losing our second game within the division. We already took care of the perennial division powerhouse, New England Patriots. We'll take care of you. Both Matthew and I like the Miami Dolphins to win this game. The Detroit Lions travel to Carolina to face the Panthers. And believe it or not, the Panthers are favored at home. They're Trisha's special upset special, where Carolina's only favored by 2.5. That, you know, if you've not been listening to the show and you don't know what Trisha's special upset special is, send me an email, steven@rrn.net, and I will let you know what that is all about. But that being said, I like Carolina. I like what they did to Tampa Bay. However, here come the Detroit Lions. They're feeling pretty good about themselves. They manhandled the New York Giants on Monday Night Football. It's a short week for them, and usually going on the road, I don't like the Lions on a short week. But this is a different Detroit Lions team. I think they settled down in that second half. Carolina showed that they're still going to struggle. They still haven't found their identity. They didn't run very well. They didn't throw very well. Obviously, it was Derek Anderson instead of Cam Newton. We still don't know if Cam Newton's going to play, although he has been practicing this week. Right now, I like the Detroit Lions, and so does Matthew, representing the fans. He's got the Lions as well. Moving on to Cincinnati as they host the Bengals. All right, so this is a battle of teams that right now are looking pretty good. They're in first place in their division. Atlanta got that important win over the New Orleans Saints in overtime. Cincinnati knocked off division rival Baltimore Ravens, and they're both sitting here at 1-0. Thing is, Cincinnati is at home. This is another one of those teams in the AFC that I've attached my wagon to and think they're going to go far in the playoffs. Atlanta's looking pretty good, but they struggled early. And if they struggle early on the road against Cincinnati, they're not going to be able to get it done. They were at home, remember, last week when they fell down 20-10 at halftime. They were able to come back. Matt Ryan had one heck of a game. He threw for over 440 yards. It was pretty impressive. Don't think he'll be able to duplicate that against the Cincinnati defense, because that New Orleans Saints defense was just Swiss cheese. It had holes everywhere. I don't think Cincinnati has that kind of defense. Both Matthew and I like the Bengals to win this game. The New Orleans Saints travel to Cleveland to face the Browns. And the Browns are kind of feeling a little good. They feel they got kind of like a victory in their 30-27 loss at the hands of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Browns are at home. However, they will not be able to get into a shootout with Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. I think Drew Brees goes in there. I think the Saints are a little upset that they let one slip away last week, a game that they kind of dominated pretty much throughout the game, and then they let the Atlanta Falcons crawl in at the end, tie them, go to overtime. Colston fumbles on a wide-open pass from Drew Brees in overtime, sets up the Falcons with a short field. They kick the field goal and win. That's not going to happen this week. The Cleveland Browns don't have the firepower on offense to maintain a track meet with the New Orleans Saints. Both Matthew and I have New Orleans winning comfortably in this game. Moving on to Minnesota, where the Vikings, fresh off their huge beatdown of the St. Louis Rams, now have a real test in front of them with the New England Patriots. New England is coming off a loss on the road, and it's their second back-to-back game where they're on the road again. I am, interestingly enough, going to take the home dog. Last week, New England was favored on the road. They lost by 13 points. This week, they're favored on the road again. Minnesota is a 4.5-point dog at home. People still love New England. They think they will bounce back. I think Minnesota unleashes the dogs, get after Tom Brady, knocks him around a little bit, and the Vikings will come out victorious again. This is the second game that we differ on, as Matthew Parsons is taking the New England Patriots. That's a good pick, and I actually thought about taking the New England Patriots as well, but I'm liking the Minnesota Vikings. I think that they found last week, hey, we can win. We can win big, and we don't even have to have a monster game from Adrian Peterson. He was just
average last week, and they still destroyed St. Louis. Now, St. Louis isn't no one to scoff at. They obviously have their problems without a quarterback, but I think the Minnesota defense will get after Tom Brady, and if you can rattle Tom Brady early, he's not the same Tom Brady of old. I like Minnesota to hand the Patriots their first 0-2 opening, and I can't even remember when the last time that was. So I've got Minnesota, and Matthew has the Patriots. All right, we'll go to New York where the Giants host the Arizona Cardinals. This is a very tough game to pick, mostly because the New York Giants were embarrassed on Monday night against the Detroit Lions, and they have their home opener. The Arizona Cardinals, on the other hand, struggled against the San Diego Chargers, but they got the W in the end on a nice little pass from Carson Palmer to Brown to score a 12-yard touchdown in the waning minutes of the fourth quarter and only leave like a couple minutes for San Diego to try and beat them. It wasn't enough. The defense stepped up when they needed to. Now, we had that story earlier today where Jonathan Abraham is not with the team. He is most likely not going to play in this game. So we're going to have to see how the Arizona defense responds to now having another veteran pro bowler not on the team. I like Arizona in this game only because I saw the Giants. This team is not motivated. They didn't look like they were had a pep in their step. They were just like a step too slow. Victor Cruz, Ruben Randall, neither of those wide receivers were on the same page with Eli Manning. Eli Manning targeted a tight end that nobody's heard of, Donnell, 11 times, more than Ruben Randall and Victor Cruz combined. That tells you something about where this football team is offensively. Defensively, they're just going to have some matchup problems. Larry Fitzgerald, I guarantee you, is going to have a big game in this game since he was only targeted four times and had one catch last week. But Michael Floyd, Brown, there's a lot of weapons that the Arizona Cardinals have. I think Andre Ellington has a big game, and they're able to stop the Giants' offense. I'm going to roll with the Arizona Cardinals. Meanwhile, Matthew has taken the Giants to win their first game at home. We'll move on to the Dallas Cowboys traveling to Tennessee to face the Tennessee Titans. The Titans surprised everybody and beat down the Kansas City Chiefs. They held Jamaal Charles to 19 yards. That was pretty big. And they found that Jake Locker can throw the ball a lot. One of the problems with the Dallas Cowboys, they can't stop a lot of people who throw the ball. But one thing I know about Dallas is whenever you think they're going to lose a game outright, that's when they put it together and they play some solid football. Both Matthew and I are taking the Dallas Cowboys to get their first win despite being on the road. One thing I know about Tony Romo, he does not have back-to-back stinkers. And last week against San Francisco was a stinker. Three interceptions, didn't look good, wasn't decisive on making his throws, and didn't really target Dez Bryant all that often. I guarantee you that changes this week. I expect a big game offensively for Dallas. And even though the Tennessee Titans will score some points, I still think the Cowboys come out on top. Moving to Washington. In our nation's capital, the Washington Redskins will host the Jacksonville Jaguars. I almost took Jacksonville in this game because I don't think, like last year, the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to go 0-8 or 0-9 or 0-10 before they get their first victory. I think they're going to get their victory pretty soon. It's just not going to be this week. Washington looked really bad last week against the Houston Texans on the road, but this is at home. They're a different football team when they're at home, and I think this is a make-or-break game for RG3. He's got to show that he got sacked last week on plays that generally he would not have gotten sacked in the past. So he's got to show that he can't be tentative anymore, and he's got to get out of that pocket a little bit sooner if he feels it's breaking down. I think that they will get the win only because Jacksonville had a 17-point lead last week against the Philadelphia Eagles and couldn't put it out and end the game with a win. So instead, I like Washington to just kind of bounce back, take care of business, stifle the Jacksonville Jaguars on offense, sort of like the Philadelphia Eagles did in the second half, and come out with a win. Matthew has that pick as well. Here's the head scratcher as the San Diego Chargers host the defending Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks. I look at this and I think it's a slam dunk, right? I've got the Seattle Seahawks, and just about everybody else and their dog has the Seattle Seahawks. But a fan guest this week, Matthew Parsons, says, hold on, not so fast. He's taking the San Diego Chargers, which we'll talk about this a little bit later. I think I'm going to make the challenge game. I'm trying to see in what kind of a scenario the San Diego Chargers can beat the Seattle Seahawks. Phillip Rivers was knocked around a lot last week by the Arizona Cardinals defense, and the Arizona Cardinals defense is nothing like the Seattle Seahawks defense. I think the Seahawks defense goes after Phillip Rivers, knocks him around a little bit, and they win this game easily. It won't even be close. I like the Seahawks, and he likes San Diego to win at home. Possible challenge game. Moving on, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are at home hosting the St. Louis Rams. And I think the Rams, their season is done, folks. Sean Hill didn't look too good when he was in there before he suffered an injury. Then they brought in Alan David, and God, that just didn't look as good as well. They're not going to have any luck against a Tampa Bay defense that was looking pretty good, and I think they've kind of sort of figured things out on the offensive side of this ball. Both Matthew and I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this one, and I think it probably might be one of my challenge games, Survivor Pick'em games, that Tampa Bay will win at home over the Rams. We'll move on to a divisional game as the Denver Broncos host the Kansas City Chiefs. So the Chiefs got embarrassed last week by the Tennessee Titans. Now they have to go on the road and face the Denver Broncos. The Broncos just looked too good in the first half, but then they kind of eased up and let the Indianapolis Colts catch them and kind of, you know, make it a closer game than it should have been. Still, Denver has Peyton Manning. Whether it's Julius Thomas, who last week scored 3 touchdowns, this week it'll probably be Demaryius Thomas, or, you know, anybody else, really, it can be, because that's what Peyton Manning does. Monte Ball ran the ball well. If the Denver defense can hold Jamaal Charles and kind of keep him in check, I like Denver to win easily. But they're going to win regardless. It's their home opener, Mile High Stadium, you're just not going to get any better than that. I'd like the Denver Broncos to take care of Kansas City, and Matthew has taken the Denver Broncos as well. Right now, it seems that Matthew and I are pretty much on the same page, except for 1, 2, 3 picks that we differ on right now. Let's see if there are any more picks. We may not differ on a game again, so it may only be 3 picks that we differ on. It's going to be interesting for me to pick a challenge game. But we, like I said, we both hacked Denver. I like Peyton Manning this time to make sure that the game doesn't get close. They will take an early lead and build on it and not let Kansas City get back in the game. Let's move on to Green Bay hosting the New York Jets. Now, the New York Jets, they're one of those teams, I believe, they are an enigma wrapped up in Pandora's box. Inside of a mysterious wormhole. I can't figure them out. Offensively with Geno Smith, one drive they'll look really good, and then the next it's like, yuck. I mean, I don't get it. It does not look like they are just in full mode. And this bringing in Michael Vick for a play or two here or there, lining him up on his wide receiver or quarterback, letting him throw one pass. Hey, get off that, Jets. That just doesn't work. It doesn't work in the NFL when you have a quarterback come in for one play. So all that does is it gets your real quarterback out of a rhythm, and that can't be good when you're Geno Smith. I like the Green Bay Packers. I think they just got the short end of the stick and started their season in Seattle on the road in a boisterous place with the defending Super Bowl champions, unveiling all of their championship glory. Wasn't very good for Green Bay. Now they're at home facing the Jets team that's not that great. I like Aaron Rodgers to have a huge game in this one, and both Matthew and I like the Green Bay Packers. 3 games left. The final game on Sunday before the night game, Houston at Oakland. The Oakland Raiders come home But you know what? They come home and they are huge underdogs, which is just, it's kind of curious that they're underdogs at home by 3.5. And that means that if this game were in Houston, they'd be underdogs by almost 10. So that's just not good for the Oakland Raiders facing a Houston Texans team that, you know what, they got the win last week against Washington, but it's not like they were, you know, beating up gangbusters. The problem is that J.J. Watt and that Houston defense is going to come after Derek Carr. They're going to confuse the kid. He was pretty much confused against the New York Jet football defense. Watch out when the Texans come after this kid. Unfortunately, Clowney will not be on the field, so that's a plus for Oakland. But still, the defense of the Houston Texans will be just too much for Oakland, and both Matthew and I like the Houston Texans to get the win. Sunday Night Football, as the San Francisco 49ers get to unveil their new stadium. Now, I will have the pleasure of being in the press box for this game, covering the game for Sky Sports. San Francisco 49ers hosting the Chicago Bears. San Francisco 49ers are favored by 7.5 points. That's right. I said 7.5 points.
What?
That's right, Emma. 7.5 points. It's a big, big spread. I think the San Francisco 49ers woke up last week against Dallas, and everybody took notice. And since it's a home game, they're opening up the new Levi Stadium. You know, there's going to be a lot of fanfare and pomp and circumstance and all of that good stuff. And I think everybody and their dog, whoever played for the San Francisco 49ers, is going to be there. And Montana and Rice and Roger Craig and Ronnie Lott, they're all going to come out of woodwork. And just their presence is going to pump up the San Francisco 49ers. They'll take care of the Chicago Bears with pretty much ease. And we both like San Francisco. Matthew has the San Francisco 49ers as well. Final game, Monday Night Football. The Philadelphia Eagles travel to Indianapolis to face the Colts. Indy certainly's got to be a little upset that they lost that game to the Denver Broncos. As poor as they played in the first half, they look really good in the second half. And the Indianapolis Colts know that, you know, they can play some really good football with the best of them. Philadelphia struggled for a half, a little more than a half, against the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road. At home. Now they're on the road, hostile environment, Indianapolis Colts there. Andrew Luck, they probably won't have an answer for him. And the Philadelphia Eagles, who kind of struggled a little bit in that first half against Jacksonville, are going to struggle a lot against Andrew Luck. If Henny could do that to them, what is Luck going to do? That's right. We're both taking the Indianapolis Colts. Matthew has the Colts as well. Nick Foles, you know, had for everybody that's, you know, saying that Philadelphia is going to win the East with ease. Nick Foles had 3 turnovers in that game against Jacksonville. He fumbled twice and he threw an interception. So it's not all that great. I like Indianapolis. Matthew likes Indianapolis. And that's all 16 games this week in week 2. We differ on Thursday Night Football, where he's taking Baltimore and I've got the Steelers. We differ in Minnesota, as I'm taking the home team Vikings and he's taking New England. We differ in New York, as he's rolling with the home team Giants, and I think the Arizona Cardinals will get the win. And finally, we differ in San Diego, as he's got the home team Chargers, and I'm taking the defending Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks. Looking at those 4 games, I'm going to go ahead and take the Seahawks to be the challenge game. I lost last week to Jeremy in the challenge game, so I get to pick this week. I sent Matthew an email informing him of such. I will. He has selected the Chargers to upset the Seahawks. I think that's pretty crazy. That is one of the biggest lines of the week. In some places, Seahawks are favored as high as 7. That's a pretty big spread, but I don't have to win the spread. I just have to win the game. I think San Diego wins outright pretty easily. It's plain and simple. Seattle right now is the better team than the San Diego Chargers. There's no way I see the San Diego Chargers winning that football game. So I will stick that as the challenge game. Thank you very much for listening. Week 2 preview show is in. I will try, obviously, and get some guests for the next preview show. And I may even have someone join me on Monday night after Monday Night Football for the Week 2 recap show. But for now, I'm Stephen Miranda. Thank you, everybody, for the birthday wishes. Thank you for, you know, taking some time tomorrow to remember 9/11 and the tragedy that hit the United States of America on the East Coast there. And just thank you for listening. I appreciate it. So with that, get ready for Week 2. I'm out.